a member of the Society for American Baseball Research, and today is Friday, June the 11th, and I'm in the home of Mr. Bob Detweiler in Federalsburg, Maryland. Are you Mr. Detweiler?
80 years old.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
And where were you born?
I was born in Trumbullsville, Pennsylvania.
And what's that mean?
Halfway between Philadelphia and Allentown.
Okay. All right. And when did you get interested in baseball?
I guess when I could walk. That would be the best thing I could tell you. But in my early life, yes. Okay.
Do you have any brothers or sisters that played?
I had a brother that played in high school, and a sister never played, no.
Okay. And while you were growing up, did you have any... Who were your idols or your favorite ball players?
Well, then, years ago, it was the New York Yankees, and even though I lived close to Philadelphia, it was always Babe Ruth or Lou Gehrig, people like that.
Okay, and what position did you play?
In high school, I started out as a second baseman, and then later on, I went to third base. Played all infield positions mostly.
Right-hander?
Yes, but one thing, you know, it leads to another as you play along, and your managers, different managers want you to play one place, you know, and then they say, well, you ought to be a third baseman or you ought to be a second baseman, so wherever they wanted me to play, I played.
In high school, any special achievements in the game?
No, nothing special. I just loved to play baseball.
Okay.
I played... made the varsity team in Quakertown High School is where I played. Made the varsity team my first year as a second baseman, so that was the start of it, you might as well say.
Okay. Now, how did you get hooked up with organized baseball?
Playing high school baseball, and there was a bird, they called them bird dogs back in my time. They helped the scouts, you know. And he'd come to the high school games, which we had quite a good high school team, and he'd come to watch the games, and after my senior year, I was invited to go to Philadelphia, Connie Mack Stadium, Shive Park then, and for a tryout, and which I did. As a matter of fact, there was two of us from the same team graduated, a pitcher and myself, and we went to training, came down to Connie Mack Stadium. That was it.
How did your friend, the pitcher, do?
Well, he did well. His name was Funk, Eddie Funk. He was a pitcher. He and I went together, and when we went out to practice that first time, why, he was the pitcher against me, and the first ball he threw into me, I just happened to hit it just right and hit the left field fence there in Shive Park.
Impressive.
Yeah. So, but both of us signed a contract that day, so he did well. As a matter of fact, we played together my first year that I came. This went here in 1939, right here in Federalsburg, and he came along also.
Now, when you signed, did they have bonuses in those days or any kind of signing?
No, I didn't get a penny to sign because we didn't think about those things then, you know. And but when the season was over here in Federalsburg, I was invited back to work out for the big club in Philadelphia again. And and I worked out with them before the game started, and after the practice was over with Mr. Earl Mack, the coach for the Philadelphia Athletics then, he told me that his dad wanted to see me in the tower there at Connie Mack Stadium, you know, after practice. And so I showered and went up to his office. And when I walked in there, he said, well, you had a pretty good year in Federalsburg and you did well. I said, I think I did, and all the time, while I was doing that, he was writing stuff down there, and here it was a check for $400. That's what he gave me. It was $400 after...
After the season?
After the season was over with.
Sort of like a bonus.
Yeah. And but to top it off was on the way home, well, my dad had to take me to Philadelphia because I had no car, you know, worry about cars then. And I showed him the check, and he made me give $200 of that to this bird dog, this scout that got me the tryout. I said, what? He said, you give him $200. So I had to cash a check and give him $200 out of that.
Okay, let's go back to that first season, 1939, with Federalsburg in Eastern Shore. What were some of the other teams?
Well, the other teams was Dover and Cambridge.
Dover, Delaware.
Yeah, and Salisbury, Maryland, Centerville, Easton was in it. There was eight teams in it. Pocomoke, Maryland, they were in it. Ocean City never did have a team. No.
Okay. Now you batted .292 that first
That's
year.
That's right.
Okay. All right. Now, come to 1940.
Yeah.
You went to Wilmington.
Wilmington.
Now, what category was the Eastern Shore? Was that the C or D?
That was D.
D. Okay.
Yeah. And then Wilmington was the Interstate League. Uh-huh. Was Class B.
Class B.
Yeah.
Two notches.
Yeah.
Okay. And you had a good year there, 313.
Yes,
313.
I did real well up there, and I had to come back. I had got a sore arm up there, and I came back to Federalsburg for 1 week in this heat down here on the sand, and then I went back to Wilmington again.
Okay. Now you've got a nickname, Ducky.
Ducky. Yes.
How'd you get that?
Well, they call me Ducky, I guess, because I walk like one. I don't know. That's what they say anyhow. It's just one of those high school nicknames.
All right. In 41, you went to a different team in the Interstate League.
I went to
Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Bridgeport, Connecticut. Well, let me tell you. I had an uncle that was a manager in the Boston Braves system. And during the winter of 40 and 41, he got the idea that he wanted me to play for his team, which was Bridgeport. So he made a switch, or they made a switch for me for third baseman.
So you were
at the Athletics.
You went out of the Athletics into the Braves.
Yeah. So that's the reason.
Okay. Finally, you mentioned Connie Mack a few minutes ago.
Yeah.
What are your impressions of Connie?
Great. Great man, you know. He just sat there and talked to you, and everything was Mr. Detweiler this and Mr. Detweiler that, and everything was first class with him. Couldn't have found anybody better.
Did he seem to be pretty much in control?
Very much so. Very much so. He couldn't ask for anybody nicer.
Okay. So you played for Bridgeport in 41 and also for Radford in the Pony League.
All right. Okay. Now, when our season was over in Bridgeport, we weren't in the playoffs. So a week or two before the playoffs for the start and the season was over, I think we were in last place or eighth place. We had eight fellas on the ball club that all hit over 300.
Yeah. You had 308 then?
Yeah. But we had pitchers that had earned run averages of 10 and better, you know, this week just got stumped. So what they did, they asked me, said, would you like to go out to Bradford in the Pony League? And they're going to be in the playoffs. They need a third baseman. He said, you can prolong your season of playing, you know, an extra 2 or 3 weeks. And I said, yeah, I'll go. It didn't make any difference to me. I went right on. And
where was Bradford?
Pennsylvania.
Western
part of Pennsylvania, yeah.
Well, you played in 20 games and hit .320.
Yeah. Yeah, I went out there. I had a big time, you know, playing. It was a short time, but it was fun.
Then 1942, you went to Evansville in the 3I League.
Yeah, 3I League.
Indiana, Iowa, and Illinois?
Illinois, but Madison, Wisconsin was also in it. But they still call it the 3I League, yeah.
You had a great year there, boy.
Oh, that was...
120 games,
yeah.
91 runs, 149 hits,
yeah.
237 total bases, and 106 ribbies.
Yeah.
341 average.
Yeah. That was a great year. That was something to talk about that year that I had out there. And I hit in in 40 straight games out there, too. Got a base hit 40 straight games.
Was that perhaps the record for the league?
That is. Still is out there. Or, well, it is.
Probably forever now, huh? That league might not be around.
No, a 3i league isn't there anymore. But that was something.
Was that the furthest you've been from home up to that time?
Yeah, that was it. And then when the season was over there, the manager come and told me, said, they want you up in Boston. So that's when I went to Boston.
Yeah, you played 12 games that year with Boston there. And you had 318?
318. Great.
What was your impression your first day in the big leagues?
Well, I didn't mind being up in the big leagues. That didn't faze me one bit. You know, I didn't think of it as going high or going to the big leagues. I just wanted to play baseball, and that's what I did. And I can remember the manager out to Evansville, Bob Coleman. He was the manager there, and he told me, he said, Ducky, he said, when you go up there, he said, they're no better, the pitchers are no better up there than they are down here. They can't throw no harder, but they know where the ball's going. They can get the ball over the plate, whereas in the minor leagues, it's a little wild at times. So I remembered that when I got up, and the first ball it was against Pittsburgh. The first ball they threw to me, I got a base hit.
Who was the pitcher? Remember the pitcher?
Hank Gornicki, I think his name was. But then I struck out the next two times. But we had a doubleheader that day. And I played both games, and I went 2-for-4. I went 3-for-7 for the two games, so that was a
good
start.
Start.
Yeah.
Who were some of the Braves players on your teammate at that time?
Well, Tommy Holmes was an outfielder. Max West was an outfielder. Ernie Lombardi was a catcher. And Eddie Miller was a shortstop. I don't remember who
any pitchers?
Who there were. Lou Postel was a pitcher. A fellow by the name of Fetty. Lou Fetty, I believe, was a pitcher. I don't remember who they are.
Okay, and then unfortunately you had to go into the service.
Yeah.
What'd you do in the service?
Play baseball.
Good for you.
Yeah.
What way?
Well, I played baseball just as soon as we got in the induction center. Everybody that played baseball or could do anything in the sports line or entertainment line, they got them out and kept them, we had a terrific ball team out at New Cumberland Reception Center, and kept the troops occupied, with stuff like that. And then I went on, finally wound up being an officer, and I was down in Daytona Beach, Florida for a year before I got out of the Army. But down there it was, I had my baseball team, I was manager of it, and we played ball, but they sent, I was at Wells Convalescent Hospital down there, where fellows had come down there that were in action, and we played ball, and my duties, some duties, were to keep them occupied all the time. We had wrestling matches. I had to go get wrestlers or boxers or basketball players, and we had teams, anything to get these troops that come back, that were in the overseas there, to keep them occupied. The bad part of it was that some of them really got hefty, and they really got back to the real life again, and they just took them out and put them back
back in the combat.
Combat again, that was the bad part of it, but that was my duty.
Now, during the service, did you play with, who were some of the players you were on the teams, players?
Out there in New Cumberland, there was Pat Mullen, who was our manager. He played for Detroit. Tommy Holmes pitched for the Phillies, or Tommy Hughes, rather, pitched for the Phillies. And Bill Peterman, the catcher, caught some for the Phillies. And Elmer Ballow, who played right here in Petersburg in 39 with me. He played out there in New Cumberland. He was an outfielder. And ball player, with the exception of one or two that we had, played minor league or big league ball. We had a third baseman, Bobby Rawn, his name was, played some for the St. Louis Cardinals. And we had a terrific ball club there. As a matter of fact, that was in 1943, you know, and the teams, the big league teams couldn't go to, didn't go to Florida for their training. They stayed close to home, you know. And we played the Phillies in exhibition game in Harrisburg. We played them games there because they trained right close by there. And we had a terrific team, and we played the Pittsburgh Crawfords.
Yeah,
and those guys, well, they had Josh Gibson was catcher, Satchel Paige was pitcher, and those
Hall of Famers.
Yeah, we played them out in Pittsburgh one game. We played them in Harrisburg a game. We beat them once. They beat us once. We played the Washington Senators exhibition games there, you know, anything to, like that. We had a terrific team. And then to top it off, out there at New Cumberland, they tried to get a game between New Cumberland and the Reception Center and the Great Lakes Naval Air Base. They tried to get that to get the championship for the services, but it never materialized. Grantland Rice, I think, tried to get it. We were going to play out in Chicago, but it never went through. But we did, our team, they picked our team. We went to New York to play a team made up of the Yankees, the Giants, and the Dodgers.
They were current major leaguers.
Yeah. And we went up there and we practiced. We went up there for a week. We practiced at Ebbets Field in Brooklyn, and we practiced at Yankee Stadium, and then we played the regular game at the Polo Grounds. And they brought other big league ball players in that were in other parts of the service, and they were overseas, like Hank Greenberg, the first baseman. They brought him in somewhere, and other ball players. And our whole New Cumberland team started the game, with the exception of one player, and that was me. I played first base, but they brought Greenberg
well,
in,
yeah.
You know, he was the star. And so he played first base, and poor old Hank, he hadn't played any ball for a couple of years where he was stationed, you know, they had no team. Poor old Hank, he struck out two times, and then they put me in, and I got up to bat one time and got a base hit, you know, that's neither here nor there. But they beat, the All-Star beat our team 5-3, I believe it was. And Ducky Medwick hit a home run in the late innings with a man on base to beat us. But they brought Beasley, a pitcher for the Cardinals.
Beasley, yeah.
They brought him in. I just don't know who they all were. But the place was packed. They had to pay so much money to get in war bonds is what they had to pay. And they had, it was a terrific day there.
What was the attendance? Any idea?
I don't have any idea what the Polo Grounds, but it was a sellout.
It was a sellout. It cost 40,000.
Oh, it was a sellout, but they had Guy Lombardo's orchestra there put on, and they had movie actors and movie actresses there, you know, that they put on a show. Beautiful day, and it was first class, and I had a lot of fun. You
mentioned Ducky Medwick, so there were two duckies
in that game, yeah.
Okay, so. War's over, 1946, you're back with Boston.
Yeah.
But you were just in one game.
Oh.
What happened?
Well, I got the pinch hit in that game, but I guess I couldn't cut the mustard anymore. So they sent me out. I went to Indianapolis, and I was there for about a month, and the come to me and told me that I was supposed to get up back up to Philadelphia. The Braves were playing in Philadelphia. Billy Southworth was the manager then. And my first time up to Boston in 42, Casey Stengel, he was the manager there for the Braves, you know. But they called me up and went to see him and went to his room. He had a meeting up there, and the man at the desk at the hotel where they stayed, he said, "They're waiting for you in room so-and-so." And when I walked up there, went in the room, he told everybody in there, sports writers and stuff, he said, "Gentlemen," he said, "here's your third baseman." So what did I do? I got on the telephone, I called my dad, my mom, you know, and told the talent, all the fellas, my buddies up home, to come on down to Philadelphia. It was only 35 miles from there, that I was going to play, and I got out there at the ballpark. I wasn't even in the lineup. The manager didn't even know I was there, I don't think. I never played, but here all my friends come down. So that was that, and then I went, finally, I did get the pinch hit one time. It was in Chicago, got the pinch hit, and after the game was over, I went to Rochester.
Right.
That was it.
Now, were you still with was Rochester a Braves farm?
No, they were Cardinals.
So you were transferred to the Cardinals?
Yeah. There was a trade there. I went to Rochester, Detweiler, for Littweiler, Danny Littweiler.
Yeah.
Went to Boston, yeah.
Now that Rochester team, who are some of the Cardinals that maybe went on to the big league?
I have no idea. I don't remember. Bud Byerly was one. He was a pitcher. Other than that, I don't even know who played for him anymore.
Let's get back to Casey Stengel. You didn't tell me that.
Any
Casey Stengel stories, or was he really like he's been with pictures in the papers?
Whatever you heard about Casey Stengel, whatever you see about, saw his picture of anything, that was Casey Stengel. I know one time, I was doing real well, you know, then, and I was up the bat, and I got a base hit. Well, when I don't know if I scored or when I come back to the dugout, I don't know what it was. I must have scored because I come back to the dugout. There was no place for me to sit, but right next to him. So he proceeded to tell me a joke, telling everybody a joke there. And when the joke was all over with, man, it was the funniest thing I ever heard. And I got to laughing so bad. And he looked and he said, "That." Said, "Keep your mind on the game." I said, "Yes, sir." Well, this happened again. When I come back to the dugout, no place to sit, but right next to him. So he proceeded to tell me another joke. It was funny. It was fun, but I never said a word. I never laughed. I didn't do anything. And I just sat there, you know. "Come on, boys. Come on, boys." He said, "Dad, didn't you like my joke?" I said, "It was good, Case." He said, "Why didn't you laugh?" So there you are. They had this made up, you know. That was Casey. He kept everybody going, you know, all the time. First class.
Okay, now, 47, you back to Fredericksburg.
Well, during the winter, why the people here in Fredericksburg, I decided that I was going to forget about baseball. And the Fredericksburg team here, the big wheels in Fredericksburg, they decided to want to ask me if I wanted to play in Fredericksburg. They'd buy my contract from Boston because I wasn't going anywhere with them anymore. And they bought my contract, and that's, I stayed here. And
were you home here at that time? Or?
Yeah, right here.
I guess you liked it.
Yeah, evidently. Well,
you had a good year that year, 352.
Yeah.
29 homers, led the league.
Yeah, led the league that year. But, you know, that's coming down from higher up baseball. I maybe should have stayed playing, but come down here. But I had a good year, and my wife lived here. She was born and raised here, so this is it. And then stayed here another year. and I managed them. And,
yeah. And you had another good year too, 341.
Yeah.
Playing manager.
Playing manager. The bad part about that, I had a pretty fair team, but everybody got hurt, including myself. Bad legs, you know, Charlie horses. And the best pitcher I had, he's a cigarette smoker, lighted matches and burned his hand, and so he was out in one of those things.
Now, being a playing manager, was there any problems, I mean, as opposed to being a bench manager, I guess? Were you able to handle it okay?
Yeah, everything went fine. You know, I had a big time managing, trying to help these guys. I couldn't see no difference in being a bench manager and being a playing manager. I guess maybe it was a little more pressure, but I really don't know.
Did you have any idea that maybe you'd want to move up to being a manager, maybe back to the big leagues or
never,
higher classification?
You know what? I never, while I was doing all this playing and managing, I never gave that a thought for some reason or other. All I thought about was just managing and playing. And doing the best I could, and it was tough, but it was nice.
Okay, so you imagine Federal work for 3 years, 349.
Yeah.
You had a good year that year too, 341, 339.
339, yeah.
Then you went to Red Springs.
Red Springs, yeah.
Carolina?
Yeah, Red Springs, North Carolina, Tobacco State League. See, in 49, the Eastern Shore League broke up then. It broke up, and I wasn't especially interested in going anywhere. My daughter was born, and so Mr. Ehlers, the business manager of Philadelphia, he wanted to know if I wanted to go to Red Springs.
That was their farm team.
Farm team, yeah. And I said, okay. I took the job, and I think, we ended up in third place, got beat in the playoffs, yeah.
You had 19 triples. You must have really done a lot of running. The fences were pretty far out.
They were, but I could run, yeah.
Yeah, and I see you had some stolen base, from Fredericksburg, 37, 33,
yeah.
30, and 30, so you
yeah.
were.
I could run. That's one good thing about it. I was no dummy out there, I'll tell you.
Okay.
Not bragging either, but I just loved it.
The next year you were in the Cordell in the Georgia
Florida League. Yeah, they were.
Was that in Georgia or Florida?
Georgia. That was in Georgia, in the southern part of south central part of Georgia, yeah. And that was.
You had 381.
381 there, but only 38 because I.
Cutting down on your
broken leg.
Well, that's a good reason.
Yeah. I always taught. Or tried to teach my ball players, if they ever had anything that they should worry about out there, if they got on base, always slide. Don't stop. If you try to slide and then all of a sudden you stop, you might hurt yourself. You know, slide and then you get over. Well, I was on third base this one night, and a fella hit the ball to the third baseman. I was on third, runner, and after the man threw the ball, after the player threw the ball to first base, I started running home, and I thought, here's where, and I saw the ball go over the first baseman's head. I didn't have to slide, you know. I saw, well, here's a good, I'll teach him. I'll slide. And when I slid, I broke my ankle. Mm-hmm. I got it hooked up in the home plate, and and that was it. That was it for the season.
Was that your first serious injury
in
ball?
Well, in professional ball, I always had a sore arm, more or less, but Charlie horses and stuff like that. But that hurt me very badly because I had a nice young ball club down there in Cordell that they sent me, and things were coming along very well, and then I couldn't play anymore, so. That was it.
What kind of salaries were they paying in those days for, well, you were playing manager, you two were taking doing?
If you got the, if you were in the 500 to 600 class for Class D, You were doing well, 650 something
per month.
Per month, yeah. And if you got that kind of money, you were doing all right, yeah.
What did you do in the off season? Anything special?
Well, nothing really. I'd get a local job around here, and my father-in-law, he had a tavern in town here, and I opened up a lunch counter in the tavern, you know, and stuff like that. But I didn't do anything out of the ordinary. I'd umpire high school or football games, referee football games, and basketball games. I did that lots of that stuff. That was it. Just little running, keeping shape, you know.
Right. Okay, in 1952, you were manager at Fayetteville in the Carolina League.
Yeah, that was.
Was that still a Philadelphia farm?
That was Philadelphia. Winter, when I got a phone call from Philadelphia, they wanted to know if I wanted to move up to a Class B. And naturally, I said, yes, indeed. And I got the job down there, and I had a nice ball club, and I needed an extra outfielder that would give me a little power and stuff like that. And I called Philadelphia, the business manager up there, and asked him for an outfielder, and he gave me a guy's name and said, you want so-and-so? And I said, yes, indeed, because he had been to Fayetteville the year before and had done terrifically. And So we were coming, and just before he was to come in there, when I went to the ballpark one day, the business manager there told me that there was another manager coming in that I was to go to Lexington, North Carolina.
North Carolina State League.
Yeah, and be a playing manager there. And I said, what? And this business manager...
Was this also Philadelphia?
Yeah. He said, I don't know what's going on, but the guy that had the team the year before, he wanted to be a scout down there. And then all of a sudden he didn't like it. And I had the team coming. They were coming. And he saw that we were coming in the year before. They were in last place. And I had them coming. I told Mr. Ehlers, I said, oh, just give me an outfielder. Let him drive me in some runs. And I said, I'll have him there, because they had a pitcher. He was a nice, he could throw the ball good. He was a side armer, and all they used him for was relief. And I changed him into a starting pitcher, and I'd get a phone call, say, whatever you do, don't ruin him now. Because he was winning for me, you know. I said, you haven't got to worry about that. I won't do that. I'll let him pitch every fourth day, every fifth day, something like that. And this fellow that took over for him, he told me that he couldn't be a starting pitcher. He wasn't strong enough. He was strong enough for me, and then when I come back, or when he come back, and I went to Lexington, he made a relief pitcher out of him again, and down they went. So that was the end of that. And then over in Lexington there, I was only there a short time, when here come a phone call, said, you're supposed to go home and call Philadelphia right away. And they want you up there. So I come home, made the phone call right here, and they didn't even know I was home. So somebody wouldn't tell them the truth.
And that same year you went to Salisbury, interesting.
Well, I finished, I called them, and they gave me a job for the rest of the season.
Did a lot of traveling here.
Yeah, I said that was enough. And then I had quite a few calls during that winter to manage in other teams and other leagues and stuff like that, but that's when I quit, I think, in no sense.
Now, in your managing, did any of these players get to the majors?
I had one fella here, Fettlesburg, Spider Wilhelm, that he played with the Athletics for a short time. That's the only one that I know of. I can't think of any others.
Okay. What would you say in the majors your biggest thrill was? Or something?
Well, getting that base hit to start with, the first ball pitched to me was one. And I did get a base hit off of Carl Hubble. We played the Giants, and he made me look sick striking out with that screwball and his and sliders and stuff like that. Made me look sick. And I can remember when I struck out, the umpire, I forget what his name was, the umpire, he said, "Don't feel bad." He said, "Just think how those Ruth and Garrick and Cronin, the five guys he struck out in a row in the All-Star game, so think how they felt." So I just walked back to the dugout. But I got a base hit against him. I hit a little nubber back to him, to Carl Hubble on the mound, and he was just ready to field it, and they must have hit something and took a bad hop and went over his glove, and they give me a hit on it. So that was fun.
Hit to hit.
Yeah, hit to hit then.
Right, okay. Did you have any problem with umpires?
Well, I guess so. If you want to say so, I argue where until it finally cost you about $5 or $10, something like that. But they never bothered me. I got along.
Did you ever get thrown out of the game?
Yes, I did once or twice.
When you were managing, I guess.
Yes, yes, I did that. But that's just part of it.
Do you keep in touch with any ex-ball players?
The only one now is, I was just telling you about this pitcher, Len Matarazzo, his name was, that was in Fayetteville. We correspond with Christmas cards, and that's the only one. It used to be a couple of years back, there'd be a couple guys passing through someplace, they'd stop in here at Fettlesburg to see me, but that's all.
How is baseball different today than when you played it? Or what's the most different?
I don't want to get into that subject. I'll tell you that it's terrible. These ball players that are playing now and getting the kind of money that they're getting, that is what aggravates me. But I like to go to ball games. My wife and I, we go down to Salisbury. You know, they're in the Sally League, and there's very few games that we miss.
Delmarva in that league.
Yeah, that's one, Delmarva. And I like to go, and I like to watch them play, these minor leaguers. You know, when they're playing, they go out there playing. Well, they're trying to get up to the big leagues. They're giving it all they got. And high-priced ball players that are playing in the big leagues. You go to a ballpark, you see them walking in to their clubhouse and stuff. They got briefcases in their hands. They're worrying about their condominiums. They're worrying about their boats and stuff like that. I don't want to get started.
Okay. Are there any other former players in the area here?
Now, let me see. We had a fellow living here in Fettlesburg years ago, but the old man passed away. There's some, especially living down around the Salisbury area, there's a manager there, Gene Corbett, that managed here in the Eastern Shore League back when I played here. And there's a couple others that are still hanging around in the area.
Good. Okay. Do you keep any scrapbooks, mementos of your days?
Well, I got a few things, but not many. And what I keep or did keep and stuff like that, my wife, she takes care of that and all that stuff. Everything I have goes to my daughter. I got two granddaughters, and everything's made in duplicate copies, so when I'm gone, why they get it, you know, it's the way it is.
Did you have any, what pitches or pitch did you have perhaps problem with as a hitter?
They think Bill Lee was with the Chicago Cubs. And I was having, when I first went up there, you know, they were trying to throw here and throw there. And he was a relief pitcher. And one time he threw one that was, it was high and tight. Now, you know, and I missed that. And he threw another one up there, and I missed that one. So I guess maybe that high and tight one. We had a pitcher that played here in the Eastern Shore League. His name was Duke McCoskey. He played for Seaford. He was in the Giants organization. He was a veteran player. And we used to laugh at each other. I used to, when I'd walk in the ballpark, he'd always say, "Ducky," he said, "watch out for the high and tight one today." And I said, "Yeah, but you're going to miss sometime. It won't be up there." And he'd get it up there. I usually strike at it and miss it, but I usually got the base hit or two off of it. We had fun.
Today, that's probably a ball.
It's a ball. It's a ball. It's not right. You know, they don't go by the book. And anything that's 2 inches above the belt is a ball anymore. And if they do call it a strike up there, the batters, man, they just shake their heads and stare at the umpire and stuff like that. It's the pitchers certainly don't get a break anymore. If it would have been like that when I was playing, I believe I could have hit 400 or 500 all the time.
Okay, anything else?
I don't know, we've gone over just about everything you want to know, you know, and it was nice.
You're one of the few players that ended up with a 300-plus batting average, lifetime batting average.
That I am.
It was 311, was it?
311, 312, something like that. There's one thing about it. I got up to the big leagues. I got the coffee, but I didn't get the cream.
The original team, 1939 Federalsburg, had about 7 or 8 players, a Class D team that actually got to the majors. Could you just mention some of those names?
Well, some of them, to start with, the manager, Sam Holbrook, he was with the Washington Senators. He was played with them before he became a manager, and then he came here, and we had Joe Rulo, who played second base, Jack Walesa, who played shortstop, Ron Northey played the outfield, Elmer Vallo played the outfield, and I played the infield. Those are some of the ones. There were 7 or 8 of us that at least got a try up there, and everybody, not everybody, but Elmer Vallo stayed up there for a long time. Ron Northey stayed up there for a long time. We had a terrific ball club. Anyway, I'll tell you this. I, about 10 days in the season, I got spiked in the knee, and I couldn't play. And in the first 10 or 12 games, I had 4 or 5 home runs. And it took me a month. My knee got better, got good as a matter of fact, but I couldn't play. It was infected, you know, and so they put me on the injured list, but I practiced with them every night. And finally, when the game would start, I'd sit in the stands and watch the game. So after about a month, I went to the manager, Holbrook, and told him, I said, "Sam, I come down here to play baseball, not to sit in the stands." And he said, "Ducky," he said, "do you want to sit in the stands or do you want to go home with your release?" Lord have mercy, I said, "I'll sit in the stands." I didn't want to go home, you know, and face my neighbors, my buddies that I got released from playing baseball. And do you know, that night, we were playing Cambridge, and it was hot. It was hot. And our third baseman got hit on the wrist and broke his wrist. So the next night I got back in the game again. That's the way I made this team. It was terrific, I tell you. And so that's another part of the stories. And, you know, you get started in this and you get started in that. But if hadn't I got back in the game as a player, I probably would have been right here in Petersburg the next year and starting my way up again. But that's baseball.
The breaks, you know, of the game.
The breaks
of
the game.
That's not a pun.
That's what keeps you going, you know, and that's not a pun, it's right.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.